Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program, coming to you from the palatial facilities of Green 960 in San Francisco. All right, not palatial, but kind of cool anyway. As promised, we had a gig here in San Francisco last night at Yoshi's, and had a great time. Thanks to everybody who turned out for that, and also to Green 960 for sponsoring it. And also thanks to Brad Friedman, who filled in for me while we were doing that, or while I hate saying we, while I was doing that. Appreciate it, Brad. Thank you very much. I haven't gotten emails from around the world yet, so I don't know what you've done. Every time Friedman, substitute hosts for me, I get emails from all over the world. Brad Friedman said on the Mike Malloy Show, which I think is kind of cool. Andy Williams, you remember Andy Williams? Moon River. All right, don't even try. I can't do karaoke. I hate karaoke, as a matter of fact. Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you. What? We just lost all of our listeners? All right, well, Anyway, that Andy Williams. Andy Williams. Oh, my God. He says that, I didn't even know he was still alive. Did you? I mean, be honest now. I used to love his music. Andy Williams' Christmas special every year, man. Going back to when I was a kid, I used to watch the Andy Williams Christmas special. But he's—I don't know. He's only 81. It's not like he's gone bonkers or anything. But he says that Barack Obama is following Marxist theory and wants this country to fail. Son of a bitch! It never stops. Who's going to be next? Who's going to be the next person to say that Barack Obama is a socialist? It's astonishing. It's astonishing. He told the Radio Times. I don't know what the Radio Times is. I have no idea. I guess it's a UK publication. That he thinks Barack Obama wants to turn the United States into a quote socialist country end quote. Andy Williams was a friend of the Kennedy family during the 60s. He was at the L.A. rally where Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated in 68. What else about this guy? Let me see. I have no idea. Well, screw that. I'm going to go home and smash my Moon River CD. Williams said regarding Bobby Kennedy, he knew about me being a Republican, but just laughed and said, sign yourself in as a Democrat and then change back afterwards. Sadly, I never got to do that, Andy Williams said. He says he was very close to Teddy Kennedy, too, and liked him. They were good friends. But where it concerns President Obama, Williams said, quote, I don't like him at all. I think he wants to create a socialist country. The people he associates with are very left-wing. One is registered as a communist. Obama is following Marxist theory. He's taken over the banks and the car industry. He wants the country to fail. He's taken over the banks and the car industry? Will somebody give Andy Williams a goddamn newspaper and let him read something? And if he can't read, will somebody please say, no, he didn't take over the banks, you dumbass. He gave the banks a lot of our money, following George Bush's lead, to save them. We don't own any banks. The FDIC takes over banks, but they've been around since Roosevelt. Go after Roosevelt. Ah, the son of a bitch is totally senile. Goodbye, Andy Williams. Oh. I get so tired of this. You know, you expect people like the suicider, Glenn Beck, and the drug addicted Limbaugh, and Crazy Eyes Malkin, and the rest of these freaks to start talking this nonsense. But Andy Williams? Moon River, I am out of my mind. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. My brain is mush. Poor bastard. Yeah, I can certainly understand what's happened to Williams. Like my mother used to say, and she's right, you know, you've got to have courage to, what'd she say? Growing old takes guts. What about Alan Grayson? Who? You know, the representative from Florida, from the Orlando area? A Democrat? I didn't know. I thought the Orlando area was pretty much Republican. But Alan Grayson, is he kicking ass or what? He, a couple things. Let me start with the second one. He walked into former U-boat commander Wolf Blitzer's program on CNN, The Situation Room, was it last night? And just, I mean, literally, well, not literally, but verbally just kicked ass. Everybody was there. A whole group of one identified as a Republican strategist, and of course Blitzer, who is still a member of the Mossad, or an agent for the Mossad, and then one of CNN's female reporters was there, and then this guy, what's his name? Castellanos. Castellanos was the Republican consultant, and who else was there? Two CNN people. Borger. Yeah, Borger. What's her first name? What's Borger's first name? Anybody know? Allison? No, not Allison. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then another guy who also is a reporter, Joe Johns? Yeah, Joe Johns. Gloria Borger. Okay, so here are all these people. Gloria Borger and Joe Johns. Aren't they both CNN reporters? I think they are. And then this Alex Castellanos freak and Mossad agent Wolf Blitzer, and they're all there in the Situation Room. In walks Alan Grayson. And they had on by remote. They had what's his name, the Raging Cajun. You know who I mean. I can't think today. My brain is still on Eastern Time, and I'm out here in the West. So the guy, the representative walks on, and Blitzer was so shocked that Grayson actually said something that nobody in the media wants to talk about. And what he was talking about, he said the Republicans have no plan. You know, this is nonsense. Republicans talk about Barack Obama's plan, makes no sense. What the hell are Republicans doing? They have nothing. Grayson said, they just want to stop everything. Blitzer said, has any Democratic leader asked you to apologize to the Republican? Oh, Jesus, Wolf, what an important question. And Grayson says, no. And you know why? Because I'm saying what everyone else has been thinking, but no one else has been saying. Blitzer, so you have no intention of apologizing? Grayson, of course not! Apologize? I'm not the one who should be apologizing! Hey, the Republicans should apologize to America. And then Joe Johns puts in his nickel's worth.
Wasn't it over the top, though? I mean, won't you at least admit that?
Oh, my God. And you see, you know, all I'm doing is once again laying out for you why this country is so screwed, blued, and tattooed, because these are the people in the media. Joe Johns says, was it over the top? And Grayson says, well, look, I'm 6'4", so it takes a lot to get over my top. A completely non sequitur answer, but you know, when you're getting it from four people there. So Grayson, then Castellanos, I guess he is a Republican. I thought he was a consultant. Castellanos says, I'm a Republican congressman, and I have a question. Which particular Americans do you think I'd like to die? Can you name some? And what Grayson had said the day before on the floor of the House was that as far as the Republicans concerned, their only health insurance plan is what was their health insurance plan? If you don't get sick, A. B. If you get sick, die quickly. Which is what it is. So here's this Castellano says, which particular Americans you think I'd like to die? Now, what a typical half-witted Republican question, right? What Americans? Give me a list of their names. You got some names? These bastards are like lists of names, don't they? You got names? Can you name some? Grayson says, listen, do you want to make sure that people have affordable, universal, comprehensive health care in this country? Do you? Castellanos, yes. Grayson, now what have you done about it? Castellanos, Republicans have a very different approach than the Democrats do, but it's very concrete. Instead of a big government gamble, and Grayson interrupts, oh, please, that's amorphous nonsense. And then he added, do you think that tort reform is going to take care of 47 million people not having, and then Gloria Borger tried to talk, and Alex cut her off. Alex Castellanos says, you know, about shopping across state lines, and Grayson says, oh, you really think that's going to solve anything? Oh, Jesus. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by It's Up to Us Salon featuring Ed Asner. Go to usalon.com for information on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. It's about 22 past the hour. So, yeah, Representative Grayson, Alan Grayson from Central Florida, makes a speech on the floor of the House and says what any people with the sense God gave a bag of broken doorknobs already knows. Republicans are no more interested in health reform, and very few Democrats in the House or the Senate are either, in health care, not health care reform, but health insurance reform. They're just not interested. And I doubt seriously that Barack Obama is interested in real reform, because of the program that he's put out there, or he's told his allies in the House and the Senate he wants passed. But anyway, so Alan Grayson walks in to the House. He makes a speech. All hell breaks loose. All the Republicans immediately stand up and wet their pants. It's just like a symphony of pants wetting. You know, they all do it at the same time. Oh my God, I couldn't make it to the bathroom. Did you hear what Alan Grayson... Oh, look, my pants are just soaked. And Grayson, you know, he makes his statement, and he makes his statement, and then he, everybody's on him like white on rice. And Gloria Borger and Joe Johns and Boof Blitzer and this freak Castellanos, Alex Castellanos. I didn't know he was a Republican congressman. I thought he was just a loudmouth Republican whiny ass, because he's always on Blitzer's program. But anyway. So they all jump him when he comes on the Wolf Blitzer's program. He says about the Republicans, he says, you know, that's just helping people who give Republicans money. That is this plan to force everybody to have health insurance. He goes on, let's concentrate on helping this country, saving lives and saving money, and not the usual cliches. And he says, these are foot-dragging, knuckle-dragging Neanderthals, he's referring to Republicans, who think they can dictate policy to America by being stubborn. I think the time is over. We had an election. That's it. Now we have to move ahead in just the way the president wants us to. And then one of them, Jasper Johns, tries to say that, or not Jasper Johns, what's his name? Joe Johns. Joe Johns tries to say that Representative Grayson acted like that freak from South Carolina, Joe Wilson, you know, when he screamed out, liar! During the Obama's address to Congress. The congressman here, Grayson, says, wait a second, I didn't insult the president in front of 40 million people. You know, all Grayson did was call it like it is. But you're not allowed to do that in this country if you're talking about Republicans. Have you noticed that? If you're talking about Republicans or conservatives or these boneheads, you're not allowed to say black is black, white is white, green is green. You can't do that. You see, because we're all into fairness. And besides that, the Republicans will all stop whatever they're doing and wet themselves as soon as anybody says anything that's, oh, just the least bit upsetting to the Republicans. Oh, here it comes. Oh, wait, where's the bathroom? Oh, I didn't make it. I'm so tired of these people. I'm so tired of these people. Republican health care plan, as described by Congressman Alan Grayson, accurately. 1, don't get sick. 2, if you do get sick, 3, die quickly. That's the Republican plan. Now, while the Republicans are putting on dry pants, somebody points out to them, look, you're the people who talk about death panels. You're the people who talk about all this insane crap, forced abortions, and they're going to execute children with Down syndrome. And you have the audacity, you little pants sweaters, to just lose it, to your bladders just turn into what? Like all of a sudden a sponge. Oh, there goes my bladder. Somebody's saying bad things about us. Someone's telling the truth. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I did it again. And then they have to go to the cloakroom and put on another pair of pants. You know? I mean, oh, my God. So we're going to... Congressman Alan Grayson did go back to the... House and delivered an apology. He did. Because the Republicans were just... They were running out of pants. And everybody's smelling. The whole House smelled like urine. So Representative Grayson decided, I better get in there and give an apology so they all can, you know, dry themselves off and be okay. And I'll have that apology for you when we come back. He did apologize, yeah. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's about 25 before the hour, the Malloy Show on however you're listening to. By the way, if you call in tonight, since we are doing this from the Green 960 facilities in San Francisco, and they carry the program on a delayed basis, if you call in tonight, you won't be able to hear the show on hold. So what you have to do if you want to call in, and I hope you will at some point, not right now, don't call in now, you'll have to continue to listen however you're listening, you know, XM, Sirius, Internet, your local radio station, whatever. Because when you're put on hold, when you call in here, you won't be able to hear the program. Okay? Okay. Okay. It's always something, isn't it? Anyway, Representative Alan Grayson, who said that the Republicans don't, the Republicans do have a health care plan, a speech on the floor of the House. He said, and he described it accurately. He said, it is one, don't get sick. Two, if you do get sick, three, die quickly. And like I said, the Republicans just all went berserk. Oh, you can't do that. They're such delicate little flowers. If you say something like that, oh, everything just gets all jibbity-jibbity, and they tend to lose their bladders, and they pee, and oh, it's awful. And then they flutter around the room just completely out of control. They demanded instead of whining for an apology because their feelings were hurt. Oh, poor babies. So, Congressman Grayson got up and delivered an apology today. And it's at YouTube, but let me quote. He says, last night, here in this chamber, I gave a speech. I'm not going to recount every single thing that I said, but I will point out that immediately after that speech, several Republicans asked me to apologize. Well, I would like to apologize. I would like to apologize to the dead. And here's why. According to this study, Health Insurance and Mortality in U.S. Adults, which was published 2 weeks ago, 44,789 Americans die every year because they have no health insurance. That's right! 44,789 Americans die every year according to this Harvard study called Health Insurance and Mortality in the U.S. U.S. Adults. You can see it by going to our website, grayson.house.gov. That's more than 10 times the number of Americans who have died in the war in Iraq. It's more than 10 times the number of Americans who have died on 9/11. But that was just once. This is every single year. That's right, every single year. Take a look at this. Read it. And weep. He talks like this. And I mean that. Read and weep because of all these Americans who are dying because they don't have health insurance. Now I think we should do something about that. And the Democratic health care plan does do something about that. It makes health care affordable for those who can't afford insurance. And it saves people's lives. Let's remember that we should care about people even after they're born. So I call upon the Democratic members of the House. I call upon the Republican members of the House. I call upon all of us to do our jobs for the sake of America, for the sake of those people dying and their families. Yeah, I apologize to the dead and their families that we haven't voted sooner to end this Holocaust in America. So there's this apology. Good for you, Alan Grayson. Good for you. So they're going to come after him real hard. I hope this guy never had a parking ticket. I hope he didn't have a cousin who knew somebody who once lived in a house with eight or nine other people when the cousin was a student, and one of those eight or nine other people had a sister who was married to a guy who came from Iran and who was a communist. Because if that chain exists, you can see it, can't you? All over Drudge's filthy, pukey-ass website, you can hear Beck saying it. Congressman Grayson linked to communists! Right? If you want to tell him how much you appreciate his stance, finally, a Democrat. I don't think even Kucinich goes this far. Finally, a Democrat who just speaks the truth and doesn't mince words. And, you know, he more or less says to the people in the House of Representatives who want to get all weepy and bladder challenged, you know, he more or less says, oh, kiss my ass. Stand up and take it like a member of Congress. You are liars. You are sneaks. You are no heads. Everything's no. You can write to him at... Or you can go to his website, Grayson, G-R-A-Y-S-O-N, grayson.house.gov. Send him an email. Tell him, hey, you sound like Malloy. No, never mind. Don't do that. He'll say, who? Who's that? Oh, God. Isn't it the truth, though? The Republicans, look what they have done. Because Obama has proposed... some half-assed, not even a solution, just a diversion from this healthcare mess, health insurance mess that we're in this country. That's all he's done. And he's a fascist communist. Yeah, they say that. Which, once again, I was talking to somebody today. When you call someone a fascist communist, what you're doing immediately is displaying your total ignorance. You're just complete ignorance. But because he tried to make insurance a little bit more affordable, or tried to suggest that there are other ways to do this, look what he's had to endure. Death panels. Oh, my God, they're going to take your granny and open up a vein and let her bleed to death while Barack Obama jumps around with a swastika on his head and chants ancient Wiccan curses or something. Now, if you're Wiccan, don't write to me. I know you don't have curses. Okay. Oh, my God. But let a member of the House tell it like it is, or the party of no, they're not doing anything. Their plan is don't get sick. If you do get sick, die. Oh, all of a sudden! Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I mean, they just... Regarding Andy Williams deciding that Barack Obama is trying to introduce socialism into the United States. Andy Williams. Moon River. From now on. I used to love that song. What a romantic song. They don't do songs like that anymore, right? Moon River, wider than a mile. I mean, it's full of non sequiturs. It doesn't make any sense. I'm crossing you in style someday. What does that mean? That line, I'm crossing you in style. But Andy Williams, the Christmas special, you know, with his brothers. I like the part where the brothers would sing Christmas carols. Oh, my God. And now he's making these statements about Barack Obama wants to destroy America. He's a threat to the country. All right, I got an email here from Dan in Costa Rica, who writes, Mike, you're old enough to remember the furor over John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, which I digress from Dan's email, which was absolutely true. If nothing else, by virtue of the population on Earth 2,000 years ago and the population in 1964 when Lennon said that. But anyway, Dan writes, you're old enough to remember when the Beatles made that statement they were more popular than Jesus and the furor it caused. I recall, Dan writes, seeing news footage of vast hordes of Christians making a bonfire out of their Beatles records. I say, why not something from our side? I say, we get all our friends together and make a giant bonfire of our Andy Williams records. I'm sure the sight would be visible from space. We might need to turn the Hubble telescope around, though. Dan, San Jose, Costa Rica. One problem, Dan. First of all, people are going to say, who's Andy Williams? Then they're going to say, what's a record? Andy Williams record. Come on, Dan. Jesus, you must be older than me. Who has records anymore? And who has Andy Williams records? Huh? A record? Isn't that something you get when you get arrested? That's called a record, right? You know, I say, no, seriously, Dan, I say it all the time, too. You know, the other one I say is, can I get a recording of that? Or not, no, I don't say that, recording. Have you heard this? I don't know. When you should say audio. There's no such thing. Nobody makes records anymore. Who makes records? They make CDs. And those aren't long for existence either. So, yeah, good idea, Dan. Maybe 40 years ago, but Andy Williams records. No, I get your point. You're absolutely right. Let's do it. Tell me where to come. San Jose, Costa Rica. God, Costa Rica is beautiful, isn't it? All right, what else we got? I just can't get over this, Representative Grayson. Just leveling Republicans with the truth. But that's how it always works, isn't it? The terrible swift sword of truth. Isn't that what it says in the old hymn? He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Well, Republicans and right-wingers and fundamentalist Christians and Orthodox Jews, not everybody, not you, Lynn, and fundamentalist Muslims, you know, they're all terrified of the truth. They really are. They have relative truth. This is my truth, what's yours, all that crap. Oh, well, I don't care. I don't want to talk about religion tonight. What, another break? Okay. When we come back, something to share with you from... we were talking the other night about this freak who wrote something at Free Republic about military, maybe a soft coup in this country. We'll have some more on that when we come back. Stay with us. Before the hour, you can tell we're in San Francisco, that really cool bumper music. Gabriel, right? Corey. Gabriel, oh my God. Corey's producing tonight. Yeah, I like that. We have mostly this southern crap, you know. Thanks, Corey. The number here is the usual number, 877-96-MALLOY. Is that the number? I think it is. If you just remember when you call in right now, if you do call in and we put you on hold, or Corey puts you on hold, or Corey's assistant puts you on hold, you won't be able to hear anything. You have to listen on your instrument of listening, whatever it is. We were talking Tuesday night about this freak who wrote at the internet toilet site. Is it Free, not Free Republic, the other one? Whatever. And he was writing about talk amongst, or the possibility of talk amongst members, high-ranking members of the military, of a soft military coup where Obama would remain as president to sign declarations and so on and so forth, much like the Queen of England, but the real power would slip into the hands of the military. You know, a real wet dream of a neo-fascist like the guy who wrote the article. And that's a column. You know, that's pretty much all it is. These people are crazy. They're just crazy. Crazy. So I got an email here from I can't give her name. She's written before, and I've read her stuff on the air. And she writes, I can't tell you the details, but this is a true story, an actual event. And this time I will ask that you don't use my name, should you quote the story. Here it is. Person writes, once a year I attend an event that is comprised primarily of high-level military, mostly Army, officials. In other words, the event is comprised of generals and full-bird colonels and their spouses. Just prior to the election last year, the annual event occurred again. After dinner, after the wine had been consumed and after dinner drinks were consumed, the talk got a little looser. And Mike, if it's any consolation, I can tell you the nutcase who is promoting military intervention in this nation, is so off base. He has no clue. She's referring to the guy that wrote the piece. I heard generals and full birds speak softly among themselves in small groups about the state of this nation, and they were horrified about what had occurred under Bush Cheney. I would have guessed these military officials were mostly conservative and Republican, and I was probably right. I heard others say, again in small groups, that just conversation among themselves, that Obama had to be elected to get this country back on track. I heard more than one mention we should not be interfering in the Middle East, with comments like, who asked them if they wanted democracy? Who are we to decide the form of government another country should have? So don't worry about high-level military intervention in reaction to perceived actions by our president. These guys are smart, very well educated. At this level of the military, they don't look to war as the first option. For the most part, they've been there and they understand. They aren't going to do anything rash. Having said that, though, I know there's a strong right-wing Christian contingent in the military, and who knows what they would do. Blah, blah, blah. Don't use my name. Thanks. Well, almost as if by magic, in response to that, an email from Chuck Fager at the Quaker House in Fayetteville, near Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Chuck is a military veteran, and he writes something from Army Times from about a well from October. No, wait a minute. Where's this from? It's from, what's the date today? What's the date today? Is this the 3rd? This is October 1st, right? Well, this is dated October 5th. This is 2009, isn't it? You guys don't change the year here on the West Coast? You don't do that? It's the same year as it is back east? Okay. Well, this is a letter to the Army Times of October 5th, 2009, which I guess must be the edition that is out now. Yeah, that's what it is. And our good friend Chuck Fager at the Quaker House in up near Fort Bragg, North Carolina, sent it. And now I'm about ready to run out of time, right? How much time do I have left? What do I have? 1 minute. All right. Then I'm going to have to wait. But it's a letter written by Major Santel Powell III. And it's in Army Times, and it's addressed to, well, to the readers of Army Times under the heading, Respect the President. So we'll do that when we come back after the break at the top of the hour. All right? And a little bit later on, we'll start taking some phone calls if you'd like to join in a more direct basis. And again, tonight we are doing the program from the vast communications complex that is houses Green 960 AM in San Francisco. So as I look up and look through the glass window, I don't see Kathy. I see Corey. Ah, but there's the music. All right, stick around. We'll be back after the break. And then I want to share with you this letter to the editor from Army Times. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program coming to you from the studios of Green 960 in San Francisco tonight and tomorrow night. Gordon got an email to me, or a message to me. Alex Castellanos is not a congressman, the guy that was on. I didn't think so. The copy I was reading from identified him as a Republican congressman. Well, it quotes him as saying, maybe he was just saying, if I'm a Republican congressman, I would be offended. Anyway, thanks, Gordon. Appreciate it. I don't think he was. He's a consultant or something. Now, regarding the story we talked about earlier this week, somebody writing at one of the right-wing websites who claimed to be an advisor to two presidents and all this other garbage wrote something about the possibility of a soft military coup in this country. Nothing violent, just some flag rank officers going into the office of the president, kind of like 7 days in May, and just telling him, listen, we don't like the direction the country's going, and yada yada, and that Obama would remain as a figurehead president. Well, that, you know, it's insane stuff, but it's just one more example of the kind of garbage is out there. These people are just... And remember, the genesis of all this is the fact that Barack Obama appears to be not white. You know, there's something... Maybe it's the light he stands in, but these people think he's different. He's not white. And that's where all this is coming from. I mean, when they talk about they want things the way they were, that means a white leader. You know, the president is supposed to be your daddy, you know, kind of a substitute daddy. Dad, you know, right? Or Santa Claus, or the leader. But, you know, daddy. And all of a sudden, you got all these conservative white people going, wait a minute, that ain't my daddy. No! And they're all, you know, they're all confused, and Barack Obama's not old enough to be anybody's daddy except his own kids. I mean, my God, the guy is what, 47? And you got all these white men who are in their 60s going, ain't my daddy. Oh, sit down and shut up, you freaks. Oh, my God. So that's where all this stuff is coming. You know, that's the genesis of it. This is the United States of America, and we don't elect people of color we might allow one or two of them in the House, but not the Senate. How did Barack Obama get to the... Oh, my God. And the president? Good Lord, bar the door. Katie, they're coming. Sick. Sick stuff. So they can't come right out and call him the N-word. Not publicly. So they call him, you know, the next best. Fascist, communist, Nazi, socialist, killer, not an American citizen. You know, just on and on and on and on. So the latest is this thing about there might be a soft military coup to save the Republic from going down the path to socialism. All right. October 5th, 2009, Army Times letters. Under the heading Respect the President, and this is written by Major Santel Powell, the second of Lansing, Kansas, who writes, I just want to make a statement about the state of political discourse appearing not only in the country, but also showing up in our military. The military has traditionally been a non-political entity, except for our ability to vote in every election. We, as soldiers, have not usually gotten involved in the partisan discourse that has entered into our political system. But that is starting to go away. In the past 3 to 4 years, and particularly in the last 6 months, I have observed some of the strongest feelings toward former President George W. Bush and the current President Barack Obama. While I am not one to limit intelligent debate or stifle the free speech of anyone, I think it's important for soldiers to remember that when it comes to politics, we are held to a higher standard. I am referring to Article 88 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, to wit, contempt toward officials. As a reminder, Article 88 states, quote, any commissioned officer who uses contemptuous words against the President, the Vice President, Congress, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of a Military Department, Secretary of Transportation, or the Governor or Legislature of any state, territory, commonwealth, or possession in which he is on duty or present shall be punished as a court-martial may direct. End quote. In other words, he'll be court-martialed. Santel Powell continues, in all fairness, I was not and am not a supporter of former President Bush. Regardless of my personal feelings, I always maintained my bearing enough to stay within the confines of Article 88 when discussing him. It has been my observation that the level of bearing I have shown is not shown by others. The current president, whom I support, seems to have given rise to even stronger feelings within the military community, and many officers have forgotten the tenets of Article 88. I think it is our duty as officers to remember that regardless of the political party or policies you support, we are held to a higher standard. Signed, Major Santel Powell in Lansing, Kansas. And as Chuck from the Quaker House in Fayetteville, North Carolina writes, Lansing, Kansas is next door to Fort Leavenworth, which is home to the Command and Staff School and much of the Army's Strategic Brain Trust. In other words, or for example, Petraeus developed the surge plans there and went directly from there to running Iraq CENTCOM. And then Chuck, who is a veteran, adds, read between the lines here. Euphemism is part of the public military vocabulary. Talking trash about a president is par for the course among these officers, not court-martial material. Laying the groundwork for mutiny and a coup? That would be, well, something else, something worth watching. Let's hope Napolitano and the Secret Service are on this. So I think what Chuck is saying, regardless of what Major Santel Powell is saying here, if you read between the lines or pick up on the subtleties, it doesn't look the way it should be. It has an odor to it, a smell of a possible insurrection. Have we gone that far? I guess we have. I know the Air Force is lost. The Air Force has been taken over by Christian conservatives who want to kill as many people as possible so that Jesus will be pleased and order up the rapture. So there you have two differences of opinion. Our unnamed writer, who voices a slightly different opinion from Chuck Fager. And Chuck is a combat veteran and now the head of the Quaker House. I don't know, man. These are These are strange times, and it's only because, isn't it? I mean, we had a president for 8 years and a vice president who with no thought whatsoever, the very cavalier attitude, gutted as much of the Constitution as they could. Just destroyed everything. Got us into two wars when all that was needed was an international police action to, if you want to believe the official story, go after the people who organized the September 11, 2001 horror in this country. Of course, to my way of thinking, immediately Bush and Cheney should have been arrested and charged with treason and mass murder. But that's just me. So we had a president and a vice president. We had a cabinet filled with people who were here to end participatory democracy in this country and turn it over to corporate America, and as kind of the final step. Not that Bill Clinton didn't assist in that, as did George Herbert Derbert Bush, as did Ronald Reagan. You know, the last three or four presidents have really been hell-bent on turning this into a corporatocracy, and I don't care what they talk about, well, you know, freedom, justice, the American way, freedom isn't free. Oh, we got it. You know, it's garbage. It's bat snot. There might be a handful of representatives left in the House who truly represent the people of their district. As far as the Senate is concerned, what, maybe three? Who truly believe in the Senate being the great debating society that it was designed to be, where the laws and high-blown ideas are discussed to the betterment of the country, yada, 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 yada. And I talked to somebody last night after the gig here, and they said, well, you know, you really think that things are lost? And my answer, yeah, absolutely. And it's not because, you know, we got invaded. It's because Americans decided to be stupid, Americans decided to be ignorant, and Americans decided not to participate in electing people. Well, I'm not going to do that, man. Both sides are just crazier than hell. Well, just remember, like nature, politics will not tolerate a vacuum. And look who stepped in. Past the hour. This is the Molloy program coming to you from our affiliate in San Francisco, Green 960. Let's take a couple of calls. Mark is in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Let me turn down my radio, man.
Okay, that's a good idea.
21.
Do.
Yeah. Talk about Congressman Grayson.
Okay.
When I heard him speak before the House today, all people are just wanting leadership. There is no leadership coming out of the Democratic Party at all. But I just can't really relate how inspired I felt when I saw someone get up there and show some courage. I just hope he keeps it up, because he could actually inspire an actual movement in this country that could number strong and mm-hmm. actually get something done. All it takes is a little bit of courage and leadership, and this guy possibly, I say with cautious optimism, may have started something here.
Yeah, I would like to think so too. And what a sad commentary, isn't it, that that you and I have to be pleasantly shocked when when a member of the Democratic Party stands up in the House of Representatives and calls these Republican swine exactly what they are, it certainly in terms of this health insurance debacle, that kind of honesty or that kind of confrontation against these thugs is so unusual that we have to talk about it.
Did you see him, though, on the Wolf Blitzer show?
Yeah, I did.
He took on those four guys, and he commanded the way he commanded the debate, and it was four against one.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot stand up against truth.
That's true. And you know what was really pathetic about the whole thing was there were three people in our great liberal news media establishment who were there, and not one of them, I mean, they were attacking him rather than saying, I would have loved to have seen Gloria Borger or Joe Johns or the former U-boat commander Wolf Blitzer say something, anything that supported what this guy was saying. Now, a lot of people say, well, Molloy, they can't do that because they're supposed to be neutral news media people. Okay, then why were they attacking him? You understand what I'm saying?
Did you hear the subtle hint of fear in Wolf Blitzer's voice?
In regards to,
and that guy's a tool, okay?
Oh yeah, oh absolutely.
A tool, okay? But he wasn't his usual Wolf Blitzer. I mean, his tone was a little bit more like congressman. You could detect a hint of that in his
voice. I did. I really did, and I think part of that was simply because Blitzer didn't know where to go with the discussion, because normally you don't get that. Just like what's his name, the Raging Cajun, who's the guy they had on
Carville.
Yeah, Carville. Jesus, I couldn't think of his name. Even Carville was spitting out weasel words in a way, but you don't have somebody come on, a member of the House, and say those sorts of things that bluntly and expect the media people, they're not used to it. They're used to hearing weasel words. They're not used to that kind of straight ahead honesty, and when it confronts them, they go blotto. They don't know what the hell to say.
Yeah, it's like throwing water on the Wicked Witch, man.
And what they're afraid of is, now we're going to get emails saying we're liberal media. Oh my God.
That's awesome, though. I felt that's the first time I've actually felt inspired by Democratic leadership in a long time.
Isn't that the truth?
I hope he keeps it going.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
I hope people stand behind this guy, man.
I hope so, too. Go to grayson.house.gov and people can send him an email and support him. Hey, thanks, Mark. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Take care, brother.
All right, sir. You too. Nancy is in Minneapolis. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike.
I'll tell you what.
Get on your show.
Yeah, Nancy, let me do this. I've got a break coming anyway. Let me put you on hold, and when we come back, I'll take your call. But you got to turn your radio way down, okay? Because if you have your radio playing while we're talking, we get all kinds of feed back. You know what I'm saying? So we'll chat as soon as we come back from. As soon as we come back from the break, we have a whole bunch more stuff to get to tonight. So stick around, all right? Oh, Gore Vidal, you heard what he said? that and more when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mulvey. It's 25 before the hour. Okay, back to Nancy in Minneapolis. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. I love your show.
Thanks.
And I only wish you were on weekends, but I know that would be working way too much. But I wanted to thank you for drawing attention to Representative Grayson's speech, because I wasn't aware of it. And finally, a Democrat with some balls to actually get up and speak the truth. And I also wanted to ask you if you could draw attention to a bill that our Representative Betty McCollum just introduced that would restrict government funding to corporations that are convicted of a crime.
God, what a novel idea.
I know. Is that something? It's the same. It was drawn up after that Acorn bill that our nutcase Michelle Bachmann was pushing. And basically, you know, I'm kind of upset with the Democrats for immediately calling for defunding Acorn, even though I guess they weren't really funding them at this time, without an investigation, without, you know.
Well, don't forget, Democrat, you're talking about the Democrats, right?
Yeah.
The Democrats are terrified of their own shadows. They're a bunch of rabbits.
I know.
With one or two exceptions, the Republicans they know how to intimidate Democrats. All they do, except for Grayson, what the Republicans do is start whining and showing everybody that their pants are all wet because they've just peed themselves from the horror of having someone talk in a very strong authoritarian way as Grayson did. So when they do that, of course, the Democrats immediately fold up. You know those little bugs that your kids, what do we call them, roly-polies? You know, your kids would say, "Look, Mom!" And they touch these bugs and they roll up into these little crawly things.
They
roll up into a hard little ball, roly-polies. Yes. Well, that's what Democrats are. As soon as the Republicans go, "Oh, look, I peed my pants!" They roll up in little tight balls.
Yeah, they jump at it without even thinking or investigating, and that's what they did with Acorn. And, you know, this video was not, I mean, it could have been doctored big time, but right away, and I was surprised Obama, too, stood behind that. But, so anyway, this...
Wait, what video could have been doctored? What?
That video of that fruitcake that went in with that gal to an Acorn office.
That's an edited version. What Acorn is saying is show the entire tape, show the tapes from all the places that these two clowns went to, and then you draw a different conclusion. Here's the thing that really gets me, Nancy. I remember watching the Rodney King videotape where 10 or 12 cops in L.A. beat the Christ out of this man. And there it is on videotape. And they went before a jury in Simi Valley, California, which was at the time all white, and convinced the jury that what they were seeing with their own eyes was not true. And now, you see, now when the Republicans produce a piece of trashy videotape like this, we're supposed to look at it and say, "Oh, my God, look!"
Yeah, I know. But the Democrats, what got me is they just folded immediately, which makes it appear that the video was, you know, the truth and that Acorn is a bad group, when it's not. Well, anyway, Michelle Bachmann stood behind this bill defunding Acorn. And Betty McCollum came up with this bill that addresses the same thing. And actually, it is Acorn, A-C-O-R-N, and it stands for Against Corporations Organizing to Rip Off the Nation Act. Isn't that awesome? So, and it's H.R. 3679, so people contact their representatives and say, please vote for this. Because what it is companies, corporations that are found guilty, which Acorn hasn't.
Right.
These are corporations who are found guilty, and I hope they make it retroactive. But if they're found guilty of fraud of any kind, which is, they brought up a couple cases in this article I read, Pfizer was one of them, that they would not be allowed any government funding, and they would not be allowed to contribute to any political campaigns for 5 years.
Well, I think that is
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I think it's a great idea, Nancy. I love that, especially naming it the Acorn Bill. Hey, Nancy, thanks. I got a boogie. I appreciate what you had to say. Okay, take care. Take care. That's great. Call it Acorn. Let's vote. What's the Acorn Bill? To defund, you know, take money away from these other. Oh, really? I'll vote for that. Thank you, Mr. Republican Representative. Let's vote to defund the... what is it? Defund. It's called Acorn. Defund. Acorn. You know, Acorn. Defund. Oh, yeah, I'll vote for that. What's the details again? Well, what we're going to do is... I can't hear you. Never mind. Just vote for it. Dumbasses. You want to hear something that is kind of spooky? The Obama administration has told lawmakers in Congress for the time being, the Senate, that the Obama administration, opposes legislation that could protect reporters from being imprisoned if they refuse to disclose confidential sources who leak material about national security. Now, right away, you know, when you see that sentence, you think, well, yeah, if they're going to leak material about national security, they should be forced to tell who gave it to them. But what constitutes national security? Under the current setup that was put in place by Bush and Cheney, just about everything constitutes national security. Anything that is released can be classified as a breach of national security. So I truly believe that, first of all, the definitions have to be changed. We have to get out of the Newspeak dictionary and back to standardized Americanized English, which probably won't happen. But if that doesn't happen, I think the media was given First Amendment protection to begin with. It's the only, like we said before, it's the only profession that is given protection by the U.S. Constitution. Not doctors, not lawyers, not scientists, just reporters. It's right there in the First Amendment. So they already have a protection. But yeah, I guess we do need shield laws, the so-called shield laws. The Obama administration sent to Congress some revisions to a so-called media shield bill that would the revisions would significantly weaken the protections against forcing reporters to testify. This is the Obama administration, not the Cheney administration. Now, the bill that's being introduced includes safeguards that would require prosecutors to exhaust other methods for finding the source of the information that has been published, either in print or on radio or television, before subpoenaing a reporter. In other words, the prosecutors just can't start with a reporter. Where'd you get the information? I'm sorry, it's a privileged source. Oh, well then, we're going to indict you. No, 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 no. This legislation says, no, you've got to go every single other way that you possibly can, Mr. Prosecutor, to find out where the leak came from. You can't just start with a reporter. The bill introduced also would balance investigators' interests with what is referred to as, quote, the public interest in gathering news and maintaining the free flow of information, end quote. You know, free flow of information, this corrupt, filthy, goddamn media in this country putting out information that, you know, we need to survive? Gee, what a novel idea! As though there is a free flow of information now. Maintaining the free flow of information. Oh, please. How about just establishing the free flow of information? There is no free flow of information. But I digress. Under the Barack Obama administration's proposal, these procedures, like forcing a prosecutor to try every other way to get the information, they would not apply to leaks of a matter deemed to cause significant harm to national security. What would cause significant harm? I'll tell you what caused significant harm to national security was the fact that Bush and Cheney allowed 19 bombers to come to this country and kill over 3,000 people. That was a significant act of harm to national security. You want to know another one? the unprovoked invasion of Iraq. That's another harm to national security. Why doesn't somebody pass a law about that? Oh, never mind. Lost my head there for a moment. Moreover, under the Barack Obama proposal, judges would be instructed to be deferential to executive branch assertions about whether a leak caused or was likely to cause such harm. In other words, they're asking judges who might rule in these cases where you've got a reporter standing there who's being told by the Justice Department, answer the goddamn question or go to put you in jail. And the reporter's saying no. And the judge has got to decide whether or not that constitutes contempt. They want the judge to take at face value. That's not exactly what they say. They say they want the judge to be deferential to executive branch assertions about whether or not a leak really was a breach of national security. Now, keep in mind where this is coming from. The Obama administration. Before the hour, this is the Molloy program from Green 960 in San Francisco tonight and tomorrow night. Email from Paul. Mike, we need to begin a national campaign of rewarding those few Democrats with the guts to speak up, like Representative Grayson. You can lead the campaign by encouraging your listeners to send a campaign donation immediately, $20, $50, or whatever. As the other politicians see that people are rewarding courage with dollars, perhaps more spines will develop. Paul. Yeah, that's a good idea. Didn't the right-wing crazy people immediately rally around that freak from South Carolina who called Obama a liar? Remember how? See, if Democrats would just react once in a while, if liberals would just react, if progressives would react In a manner that would show people, hey, listen, we're for real, but, you know, good idea, Paul, but don't hold your breath, pal. Maybe it'll happen. You know, I'm all for it. Maybe it will definitely happen. Maybe people will reward Representative Grayson. You can start by going to his website, right? Mark is in San Francisco. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Hey.
Yes, I'm still here. Are you there?
Let me check. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, see, the thing, I didn't know. I mean, of course, I know you did tell me that there wouldn't be, I couldn't hear the program on the
phone. Right. Can you hear it now?
Not the program.
Okay, no big deal.
But at least I know, but it was such a blank, but I decided to hang on anyway. I didn't know if you were, you know, joshing me or whatever.
About what?
Well, I didn't know if you were for real or not, if you just hung up, and I didn't know. I didn't hang up my phone, though, did I?
You know, so far I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, Mark.
Oh, no, all I meant is that I didn't hear anything, and you did tell me that I would.
Okay, now what you called about is...
Yeah.
Mark?
What I wanted to say is that the thing about that I think is one of our major problems is with the Democratic Party in general, and that is that my belief is with their the Blue Dogs and the leadership,
yeah,
that primarily the Democrats want 90% to 95% of what the Republicans want, and the only reason that the Republicans are not a rump party, if you know what that means, which is at the tail end of death for party, historically, is because the Democrats need them and they keep them alive. And that, I think, something Mike Malloy would completely understand.
I'll check with him as soon as he comes in, Mark, and see if he does understand that. But I think he would. I think he would get that. Hold on a minute. Mike! Hey, Malloy! Hey, can you get Malloy? Mike, come here! Come here, come in here. That's it. Sit down.
What?
Did you hear that last call?
Yeah.
Do you understand the stuff he was talking about?
No, I was on hold. I couldn't hear anything.
All right. Well, go on back to whatever you're doing.
All right. Thanks.
I got an email here from Alan that I want to share with you, but I don't think I can squeeze it in here. It's we'll have to do it when we come back from the top of the hour break, which is what? When do we go out? We got 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Oh, we got 3 minutes. All right. Well, I'll try. If I don't get there, this is from Alan sent it to me. It's from Move On, and they forwarded it out to their thousands and thousands of MoveOn.org. You know, thousands of members. Dear Move On member, I'm at the end of my rope. What Cigna, you know, the health insurance company, what Cigna is doing to me is, well, it's outrageous. I have a brain tumor. Doctors are ready to help me, but Cigna has been blocking me from getting testing and treatment for 2 years, while almost at the same time doubling my premiums. Then this week was the kicker. Cigna's pharmacy called to say that the copay on the medicine that helps control my debilitating head pain is skyrocketing from $10 to $1,115. No, that's not a typo. They're making me pay 100 times what I'm paying now, in addition to my $753 a month premium. I can't afford that, so when the pain comes, I won't have any defense. I'll spend hours in the fetal position, out of my mind with pain. When my story went public a couple of weeks ago, with the help of over 100,000 MoveOn members, Cigna said, okay, they would pay for a test I've been asking for at Cleveland Clinic. It was a step in the right direction, but after 2 years of denials and with a long course of treatment ahead of me, I knew better than to just take them at their word. So, I asked questions. But they wouldn't offer any explanations for why they denied my coverage for so long or any assurance that they had changed their procedure so I wouldn't face the same unjust denials again. And I began to wonder if they were more interested in just sweeping my story under the rug than actually helping me. When I got this latest news from Cigna's pharmacy yesterday, Tuesday, I kept asking myself, is this a mistake? Or is this happening because I went public with my case? Are other Cigna customers receiving the same phone calls? I used to give Cigna the benefit of the doubt, but after years of unexplained denials, I've had enough. So I'm asking for your help again. For myself and for everyone else who's suffering, I'm asking Cigna for answers. And I think it would help if thousands of people like you were to join me in demanding them. I'm writing them a short letter with a simple question. Why? Can you add your name to my letter? Well, if you can, go to MoveOn.org, and you'll find it there. Okay? And add your name, or whatever they want you to do. You got a brain tumor, and your copay or your medicine's been $10 a month, and that was last month. This month, it's $1,115. Jesus. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program, third hour for tonight. Do join us if you are in San Francisco. You are now hearing the program live. That's where we are, in San Francisco, at the Green 960 Studios. Tonight and tomorrow night. So, do join us. This is so weird. Our listeners in San Francisco get the last hour live and then the whole program all over again. Doesn't that confuse you? Are we web streaming video now? We are? I don't see anything on the screen. This hour, the vast and complex studios at Green 960 are they're going to video stream the program. Oh my God, that means I can't scratch when I have an itch. I can't burp? Uh-oh. So if you're online listening via Green 960's website, you'll probably see video soon. Is it up now? Not yet. All right. Well, be patient. General Stanley McChrystal is getting, I think a lot of liberals want to say he's getting very close to insurrection himself, refusing to obey an order from his commander-in-chief. That's pushing a little bit, because I don't think any order has been issued yet. As a matter of fact, I know it hasn't, where it concerns, at least not from the president, where it concerns the next step of the U.S. military in Afghanistan. They are still debating it. It's still a policy issue and not a strategic issue. So liberals may be getting a little bit jumpy when they say that McChrystal is starting to sound not unlike Douglas MacArthur. I mentioned this the other night, the MacArthur-Truman situation, and it said basically the same thing, that McChrystal, when the rubber hits the road, McChrystal has to do what the civilian chain of command tells him to do. And that was based on the idea that we still have clearly defined chains of command, which may be, you know, total naivety on my part. Who knows who's running the government, right? Like I said, they probably take a new president in on the second day in office and show him the Zapruder film and say, now remember what Kennedy wanted to do. Kennedy wanted to end the war in Vietnam before it really got started. So pay attention to the film, Mr. President. Anyway, I digress. In tomorrow's New York Times, it says the top American commander in Afghanistan, that would be McChrystal, used a speech in London today, Thursday, to reject calls for a war effort to be scaled down from defeating the Taliban insurgency to a narrower focus on hunting down Al-Qaeda, an option suggested by Joe Biden as part of the current White House strategy review. Well, I don't think it was just Joe Biden. Wasn't the original reason for going into Taliban 8 years ago was to track down the people who had organized, authorized, and designed the 9/11 attack on this country? Wasn't that why we were invading a country? Even though 15 of the 19 bombers came from Saudi Arabia, you know, that makes sense. Don't invade Saudi Arabia. Jesus Christ, no, those are Bush's business partners. So, let's go to Afghanistan. In the meantime, let's go to Iraq. If they really wanted to track down the people who, however you want to take this, organized the 9/11 attack, why didn't they go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and march in and arrest Bush and Cheney? Charge them with some sort of homicide and treason and anything else they could come up with, even jaywalking, just level every single charge they could possibly get, arrest them. Of course, I guess you can't do that. You can only impeach a president and a vice president, right? No matter what kind of crime they commit, you can only impeach them. Never mind. Never mind at all. Anyway, after his first 100 days in command in Afghanistan, General McChrystal chose an audience of military specialists at London's Institute for Strategic Studies. Sounds like something Rush Limbaugh would have put together, right? as a platform for a public airing of the confidential assessment of the war that he delivered to the Pentagon a month or so ago, parts of which were already leaked to news organizations. Remember that? And we sat around and discussed one night, gee, who could have leaked all this stuff? Huh. Crystal McChrystal did not mention Joe Biden or Biden's advocacy of the scaled-down war effort during the speech. And he only referred obliquely to the discussion that's going on within the Obama administration on whether to escalate the American commitment in Afghanistan. But, according to the Times, he used the London session for a rebuttal of the idea of a more narrowly focused war. This is a guy, obviously McChrystal, I think he's defining himself as a war lover. He wants more of it. He wants, you boys go that way. You boys go that way. You guys come over the top. You guys sneak. Hey, come on. Here we go. Let's go. Rather than saying, okay, the mission was defined as a catch and capture, capture and destroy mission of Al-Qaeda. And everybody says that Al-Qaeda has now moved to Pakistan. You know, this is like Vietnam, Cambodia all over again, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, it is. McChrystal wants 40,000 more American troops on top of the almost 70 already there or en route to Afghanistan. That would put the total American troops up to 110,000 soldiers in Afghanistan, which is not enough. If we really want to do to Afghanistan what we did to Vietnam, we need 500,000 troops, probably more, because Afghanistan, from what I've read, you know, just remember how big Afghanistan is. It's a monster. It's a monster country. And what did I read the other day? There are like 10,000 villages in Afghanistan, each one of which would have to be subdued. So what McChrystal really wants, he don't want 40,000. This is incremental movement on his part. What McChrystal ought to do is just be honest. Just go in and have a chat with Obama and say, okay, Mr. President, here's what I need in order to win, quote, quote, the war in Afghanistan. I need 1.4 million troops on the ground. Or I need you to order a nuclear strike against Afghanistan that will, remember what they used to say in the Vietnam era? They wanted to, they being some of the top commanders, they wanted to glass North Vietnam, remember? And that would mean lots of nukes and just turn it into glass. Isn't that what McChrystal is saying? He, when a questioner at this conference in London, when a questioner asked him whether he would support scaling back the American military presence over the next 18 months by relinquishing the battle with the Taliban and focusing on tracking down Al-Qaeda, he replied, the short answer is no. Oh, really? Huh. So if that's what the administration decides, okay, look, we've been there 8 years. That's enough. It really is enough. We're never going to win. What have we won? All we're doing is killing civilians. All we are doing is making a bad situation worse. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pull out. McChrystal says his answer, the short answer is no. No. And then he gave the long answer. The long answer is, quote, you have to navigate from where you are, not from where you wish to be. A strategy that does not leave Afghanistan in a stable position is probably a short-sighted strategy, end quote. Well, that sounds a little bit like Don Rumsfeld, doesn't it? You fight a war with the army you have, not with the army you wish you have. You have to navigate from where you are, not from where you wish you have. Doesn't that sound familiar? Huh? And he says a strategy that doesn't leave Afghanistan in a stable position. All right, stable position? I have an idea. I'm just a talk show host, general. I know squat about anything. I really don't. But if you want to leave Afghanistan in a stable position, order your troops home. I mean, How hard is that? And then notify the president that you've come up with a winning strategy. It is 21 past the hour. This portion of the Mike Molloy Show is brought to you by It's Up to Us Alone, featuring Ed Asner. Go to usalone.com for information on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. All right. You want to do some phone calls? Give us a call. 1-877-99-MALLOY. Is that right, or is it different out here? I guess it's 877-99-MALLOY. So, you give us a call. Back to this McChrystal thing. It'll be in tomorrow's New York Times. He's addressing the Institute for Strategic Studies in London in front of an audience of military specialists, where he pretty much says, look, we're going to increase troop strength in Afghanistan. We're going to expand the war. We're going to get the Taliban and al-Qaeda. We're going to get everybody. And the implication being that the decision has been made. Now, maybe it has. You know, maybe you and I and the rest of the world are just not aware that Obama and Biden have said, okay, yeah, let's go. Let's go with McChrystal's idea. But if that's not the case, if that hasn't been decided, then McChrystal obviously is, he's not recommending policy, he's declaring policy. And when asked if he would support scaling back the American military presence over the next year and a half by ending the battle with the Taliban and focusing instead on tracking down al-Qaeda, which obviously, or not obviously, but one supposes are now in Pakistan, what are we going to do? Invade Pakistan? Probably. We already have special forces in there destroying stuff. But relinquishing the battle with the Taliban, it would spare ground troops by hunting for these al-Qaeda extremists and their leaders with missiles from these remotely piloted aircraft. And when he would ask if that wouldn't be a better idea, he said, quote, the short answer is no. Be careful. You don't set policy, General. You carry out policy. The policy is set up the chain, above you. Now, surely McChrystal knows that, right? The Times goes on to say, judging from McChrystal's relaxed demeanor at the session in London, any suggestion he might be headed for a showdown with the White House over war strategy seemed far-fetched. You know, like the clash that MacArthur and Truman had during the Korean War. He went out of his way to say that the White House strategy review was an essential part of developing a successful approach to war. He said, to the war, he said, quote, I think the more deliberation and the more debate we have, the healthier that's going to be, end quote. Using the word healthier in the same sentence that talks about war is insane. That's completely insane. Surely you'll agree with that, right? It's insane. We're going to have a discussion that will give us a healthy outcome. We're concerned more death and destruction in Afghanistan. It'll be a healthy discussion, and I think that's healthier because it'll be healthy. Good God. All right. Oh, he was also, while he was in London, it says here, he made a renewed request for an increase in British troops. Britain already has 9,000 there, and he wants another however many he can get. Whew. Okay, you don't want to call in? All right, then let's. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just kick back and play some San Francisco music. Huh? Did I, I left off on this White House proposes changes in the bill protecting reporters' confidentiality. the Barack Obama, oh boy, the Obama administration does not want legislation that would protect reporters from being imprisoned if they refuse to disclose sources who leak material about national security. The two Democratic senators who have been prime sponsors of this legislation are Charles Schumer of New York and Arlen Specter of PA. They both said yesterday that they were disappointed by the Obama administration's position. Arlen Specter called the proposals that the Obama administration wants totally unacceptable, his words, saying they would gut meaningful judicial review. And in a statement, Chuck Schumer said, quote, "The White House's opposition to the fundamental essence of this bill is an unexpected and significant setback. It will make it hard to pass this legislation." Now, the odd part here is that as a senator, Obama had co-sponsored an earlier vision, a version of this media shield bill. And his now Attorney General, Eric Holder, had testified in favor of such legislation. Well, gee, I wonder what happened to make Mr. Obama change his mind. All right, stick around. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour on the Malloy program in San Francisco Green 960 studios, let us do some phone calls. Let's start with John, who's in Los Angeles. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey.
Talking about that McChrystal character, I heard on that Daily Show that he was instrumental in the cover-up and probable murder of Pat Tillman.
Yeah, I just got an email that somebody said the same thing.
Yeah, well, the fact that he was special forces or whatever they call those.
What was the Cheney assassination squad, it turns out.
Really? Well, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
The whole thing, covered up and then, got leaked out or whatever. The whole idea of Pat Tillman, the whole legend of his death,
right,
is somewhat of a poster person to generate. It seemed like he generated as much sympathy for this war and anger as like that Shannon Miller, who was supposedly, bogusly,
wasn't her name
rescued?
Wasn't her name Jessica?
Jessica?
Yeah.
Another white blonde girl,
Right. I know who you're talking about. As far as Tillman's murder is concerned, and how that was revealed, that was the truth on that came out. To the degree that it has, because of his family. They're the ones that kept insisting that the story was not true, and it was pressure from his family that finally got the truth out,
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to hear from his mom again.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, listen, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, John. Take care. Mark is in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for coming out here.
Sure, I love it.
Yeah, I met you last night. It was a pleasure.
Which one were you?
I came at the end and shook your hand. Told you we're on the same page.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. Anyway, I'm calling because two of the things I think we really need to do is to hold the Supreme Court accountable for taking our vote away and putting in the Bush crime family and destroying our democracy.
All right, but how are we going to do that?
I don't know. I think we just have to put pressure on them and remind them that...
I'm not trying to be the skunk at the picnic here, but the Supreme Court is totally immune from pressure from people like you and me. The only way you can do anything with Supreme Court justices is the same way. The only way you can get at a president is to impeach them.
Well, I mean, that would be a great start. But I think if anything else, we should shame them and shame them before they make this ruling about a corporation being, a person and giving unlimited contributions, financial contributions to corporations into the, political scheme of things.
Sure.
You know, so anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is, of course, we need to prosecute the Bush crime family. I mean, every day I think about this. It just won't leave me alone that these people are getting away with what they're doing, and the right wingers are basically running roughshod on our agenda to change this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, those are two big issues that we really need to push.
Well, and I completely agree with you, Mark, and I'll tell you, it's becoming more and more, even to me, that all of a sudden, I'm just ready to throw in the towel on a lot of this stuff. This came up last night at Yoshi's during the part of the gig there. What to do? Somebody said, are you saying, Malloy, that, there's nothing we can do? I'm beginning to say that. Yes. Yes, I am. And I said the reason, it's like when you break up with somebody and, you're having this wonderful romance and you break up with them because you get some kind of a wild idea in your brain that maybe it's not the right person. Then you find out, oh my God, it was the right person and it's too late. He or she's moved on. You're standing there going, oh, my God, what did I do? And for the rest of your life, you're kind of like, oh. I hate to be the person to say this because, we're supposed to be real positive and up-tempo. After all, we're progressives, we're liberals, we're fighting the good fight. Never say die. Excelsior, onward, upward, yada, yada, yada. But you want to go after the Bush crime family, you and me? The only person that had the power to do that was Nancy Pelosi, ordering the Judiciary Committee to begin hearings. Did that happen? No. You want to go after the Supreme Court? The only way you can you shame them? They're immune from shame. Come on, these are the same bastards with what, one exception? Okay, three exceptions, but it's still... three exceptions. But it's still basically the same court that ended participatory democracy on December 12th, 2000. And if that didn't shame them, what? You think that you and I and 43 other people standing in the rain outside the Supreme Court building going, you should be ashamed. You should be ashamed. And I'm not mocking you. I'm not. But you'd be lucky to get 46, 32, 12, 8 people to do that. They're beyond shame. Look, let me tell you something. We gave it away. And what we're experiencing now is are the consequences of our actions, intended and unintended. Mostly unintended. We gave it away to corporate America, and the first way we gave it away was by not voting. Not voting. And this is what the Republicans, the corporatists, wanted all along. They decided... And they used the Clinton administration to do this, to make politics so stinky and filthy and vile that people would just say, I'm not participating anymore. Screw it. They're all the same. in a sense, they are all the same, I guess. But around the edges, aren't there a few Democrats left? You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I hate to be negative, and I'm not being negative. I think I'm being realistic. What do you want to do? What do people want to do? What is it that we want to do? We'd like to, restore participatory democracy in this country? All right, how do we do that? How do we do that? You know, we have tens of thousands of troops in two different countries trying to establish participatory democracy. And how are we doing that? We jerry-rigged an election in Iraq to get our puppet in there, although he always claims he's not a puppet. We did the same thing in Afghanistan to get our puppet there, Hamid Karzai, and went on to allow him to fraudulently be elected a second time, third time. I don't even know. I don't even care. I don't give a goddamn what goes on in Afghanistan. You know, I really, really don't. And frankly, I don't care what goes on in Iraq. After all the death and destruction we have caused there, we have murdered a million people in Iraq. And wait, come on. Let me be blunt. We have lost it. We really have. There are a few people still left in Congress, and probably not for very long. There are still a few voices on radio, and probably not for very long, who are willing to continue the fight. And unless and until two things happen. Number one, all corporate money is banned from our political system. And until B, the airwaves are taken out of the hands of the neo-Nazis, until those two things happen, you and I can sit here on this program every night, which we do, and talk about this stuff. Talk is cheap. Come on. If it's liberal talk, progressive talk, real Democratic Party talk, Democratic Socialist talk, it's cheap. Nobody's listening. Nobody gives a goddamn. They really don't. And, you know, I'm not supposed to say that. You know, I'm supposed to be gung-ho. Hey, radio. Hey, blah, 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 everybody's listening. Millions of people are reacting. Come on. Come on. Come on. When people step out of the political system for whatever reason and say, nah, you know, I'm not voting. I got a headache today. It's raining today. I can't get a ride to the polls. Ah, you got to go register. Ah, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not volunteering as a poll watcher. No, I'm not going to go canvass for a candidate. No, I don't have any money to send somebody $10. No, I don't. You know, after how many years of that? How many years of that has been going on? And people are surprised because we are right on the cusp of American fascism. People are surprised. How many people have been warning about this? The League of Women Voters, how many years did they scream, for Christ's sake, vote? And how many times did we come up with all the excuses? You want to get it back? Good luck with that, and I'm all for that. But writing your member of Congress or shaming the Supreme Court is not going to work. Something will. You want to talk about that? Before the hour, this is the Molloy Show coming to you from San Francisco. And if you're listening in San Francisco, stick around, because now you get to hear all 3 hours of the program coming up in about 10 minutes, right, when it starts all over again. Back to your calls. Rick is in Pennsylvania. Rick, welcome to the program. Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Hi.
Mike.
Yes.
Oh, great. I'm glad you got me here. My cell phone's just about ready to die.
Oh, good.
So I'll make it real quick.
All right.
Today I turned 63 years old.
Oh, yeah?
Part of my misspent youth, I spent all of 1967 and part of 1968 in Vietnam.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you for that. But I've been watching politics and paying attention to these various wars and things since that, because obviously that had a great impact on my life. I watched several.
I can imagine.
Die.
Yeah.
People I knew that died, people that I know that came back maimed and hurt, mentally disturbed.
I hear you.
So it had quite an impact on my life.
Uh-huh.
What I want to say today is these generals are insane putting more people into this Afghanistan. We cannot win this war. These people in Afghanistan and over in the Middle East do not think like us. They don't have the concept of a life the way we have a life.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything, the only positive thing that I can think of that came out of all of our experience in Vietnam is to teach us to never get involved in another one.
I hear you.
Apparently that lesson has been lost on so many people in America today. We need to bring our boys home. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, like in an hour. Get these guys on a plane. Tell them to leave their stuff there. We'll buy you new stuff when you get back to the States. Bring our boys home. When I voted for Obama, I truly thought that's one of the missions he was going to do. I'm really disappointed that he sent more troops in there, and I'll be absolutely upside down furious if he agrees to send any more. We need to bring our boys home. Anybody in the sound of my voice, take it from a Vietnam veteran, we need to bring our boys home. We cannot win this war.
Well, I hear you, Rick, loud and clear. Thanks a lot for putting it in those terms. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, how come common folk like you and me, now granted you have a leg up because you were in actual combat, but, you know, common folk like you and me can understand this. I, you know, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. A, B, you don't have to be an expert on a war strategy to take a look at the history of Afghanistan and see how many times foreign powers have tried to change it, subjugate it, subdue it, alter it, control it, dominate it, conquer it, and it hasn't worked. I don't care what the motives are. And we may have the best motives in the world. Oh, we're going to teach you how to vote. We're also going to teach you how, once you're voted in, how to keep stealing elections. Hey, this is American-style democracy. And that's exactly what it is. And well, Rick's right. You know, why don't we give it up? Why don't we just say, hey, look, we have no business in Afghanistan. The only business we have in Afghanistan is business. Pipeline. I mean, that's all. And to guarantee that it's not going to be sabotaged. That's the business. Our business in Afghanistan is in business. Okay, why not? We're very close to this anyway. We're so close to this. Why not declare that? Declare? Sure, what the hell? Why not declare that corporations, not only are they people, not only can they influence elections, not only can they do all these horrible things they're doing, but now it's time for them to raise their own armies. They're already started. So let the Pipeline Corporation of America, or whatever it is that wants to build a pipeline across Afghanistan, okay, raise your troops and go for it. Just go for it. But you'll be operating as outlaws. You'll be outside the laws of the United States. You'll certainly be outside the laws of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You'll be outside everything. Therefore, when your people, your private army people, are captured, they are not to be protected by the Geneva Conventions. They're not to be corrected by or protected by anything. No prisoner of war exchanges, nothing. When your people are caught, they will be beheaded after being tortured. because that's right, we established the torture regimen too. So go ahead, Pipeline Corporation of America. Go ahead, ExxonMobil. Go ahead, all you companies, all you corporations that are sending our people, our young people, to die in your goddamn wars for your goddamn filthy business. Okay, why don't you get honest? Quit telling the American people it's about mom and apple pie and the flag and justice and the American way of life and democracy, because it isn't. You know what it's about, corporate America, and you know what? So do you, non-corporate America. You know. You can't hide from it anymore. You know the truth. Stop jerking yourself around. You know what the truth is. You know why we're in Iraq. You know why we're in Afghanistan. Democracy, my ass. We are not there for democracy. We are not there for anything other than business. So go ahead, corporations, raise your armies. Me, I'm going to head for the hills somewhere. You know, I'm in the foothills when we do this program in Atlanta. Maybe it's time to head for the hills, or even deeper. Head for the mountains. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out. I'm going to go get a bite to eat with my educational correspondent and her husband. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.